But I'm excited to preach to you today. Happy Mother's Day again. It's awesome to be with you today. I believe I got a great message for the moms, but not just the moms, but for everybody here today. What I want to talk today about is fixing broken hearts. I want to talk about fixing broken hearts. I want to talk to those people that may have a broken heart right now, that there is something in your life that is unfulfilled or did not meet expectations in your life. Also want to talk to the people that try to fix someone else's broken hearts, try to fix other people's problems. And I want to talk to both of you. And I believe that some of us struggle with one or the other. And sometimes we struggle with both of these things. Sometimes we struggle with trying to fix other people's problems. Sometimes we struggle with having a broken heart of our own. And so I want to talk about this morning. I heard a message a few years ago about a story in 1 Samuel 1. And when I was doing my Bible reading plan a couple weeks ago, I remembered as I was reading through this particular message. And so I went back and listened to it, and I took down a lot of good things from it. And I do what I normally do, and I tweak it a little bit and change it and make it good for our context. And here's what we have here today. And so there's this story about a woman named Hannah. And Hannah is unable to have children. She wanted to be a mother, but this dream had not yet been fulfilled in her life. And she has a husband named Elkanah. And Elkanah loved Hannah very, very, very much. Have we got any men in this place that love their wives? It's Mother's Day. You should respond to that, by the way. If you'd like a good Mother's Day and you're sitting next to your wife, you should respond. In this particular cultural situation, it was very shameful for a woman not to be able to bear a child. In fact, they often equated that with, well, this woman must have sinned and done something wrong. Or maybe her mom or her dad had sinned, done something so grievous that now God is not allowing her to have a child. God has punished her with barrenness. Things have changed a lot culturally, but I still believe there are many people that have not yet given birth to the thing that they want to give birth to. And I believe that Mother's Day is a great time for reflection, to look at all the things that God has put inside of us and all the things that He's given birth to, but also all the things that He's not yet given birth to, but we feel like He wants to give birth to. Maybe it's a child for you. Maybe it's a dream for you. Maybe it's an expectation for you. Maybe it's a spouse for you. I believe that all of us have something inside of us that we want God to fulfill. And so I believe my message will speak to many today, and not just women, but to men as well. And in this story, we're going to start in verse 4 of 1 Samuel 1. But in the first three verses, to set it up, we see that Hannah and Elkanah were married. And by the way, Elkanah had another wife named Peninnah. And it was not uncommon, especially if you were wealthy in those days, to have more than one wife, especially if your wife could not propagate the family line for you. It was not uncommon at all. And we know that Elkanah must have been a very, very wealthy man, because I've found out it's pretty expensive to have one wife. Got a few guys saying amen to that, right? Someone agrees with me. So he had two wives, and Hannah could not give him children, and Peninnah could give him children. Someone once said that the reason he had two wives is so that when he came home from a long day at work, at least one of them would be in a good mood. I was offended when I heard that, but you need to know what people are saying. And so I was deeply offended, women, about that. That just doesn't sound right to me. But so since we're all offended, let's go into God's word now. Starting in verse 4, and we'll see that on the screens. It says, whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival, which is Peninnah, kept provoking her in order to irritate her. Other translations say that she taunted her. And do you not know that that is extremely cruel to do, especially to a woman that wants to give birth to something but can't? Do you know it's extremely cruel to taunt and provoke them in that way? Do you know that it's really hard, that Mother's Day might be a celebration and really great for a lot of you, but there are a lot of mothers that are having a very difficult day today over things that happened with their children that they never wished would have happened, or over things that have never happened that they wished would have happened, just having a child. And there's some moms out there that, yeah, they're excited for you and they're happy for you that you're pregnant again, but they're also disappointed that it seems like, man, every time you look at your spouse, you have a child when they are struggling to have one themselves. It's cruel and wicked what Peninnah was doing. But it says in verse 7, this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked, taunted her until Hannah would weep and she would not eat. And her husband Elkanah would come up to her and he said, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? They say that men are by nature fixers. Right? If you've ever read a self-help marriage book, it's one of the first things that you'll see about men. That men are wired to want to fix problems. Sometimes when I get home and my wife is telling me about the problems in her day, I'm listening, and as I'm listening, I'm thinking, how can I fix this problem? And so after she's done talking, I will have come up with a brilliant, amazing, an answer that is right. Many times. And yet when I tell her that, she's still upset with me. And I don't understand why at times. And I've realized, I've known her long enough that sometimes my wife doesn't want me to listen to fix her problems. My wife doesn't want me to answer her problems. She wants me to shut up and listen. I don't think you're clapping for me. I bet you're clapping about your husband. Right? Just shut up and listen. But what if we have the right answer, guys? Shut up and listen. Right? We got the right answer a lot of times. These women don't want to hear it, though. It's not always right for us to try to fix someone's problem. Sometimes what they want us to do is sympathize with their situation, empathize with them. I realized very early on in my life that I'm not so good at fixing things when it comes to a mechanical or construction point of view. I am a handyman in the fact that I can hand the man the tools. Half the time, correctly. Other times, I don't know what that is. Can you tell me? What does that look like? Is that the one with the 4 or the 2? Anyway, but I don't know the difference between a screwdriver and the other one. What's the other one? Phillips. Yeah, there you go. So anyway, you're not impressed right now if you're a man with me, and I get that, right? But let's be honest. Some of you men will be freaked out to come up each and every week to talk to hundreds of people. So let's just admit that some of us are more gifted in other areas than others. Amen? And so my son bought this little odometer for his bike last week on Amazon, and it finally came. He was excited. It was like $8. It wasn't a big deal, but it tells you how fast you're going on your bike. And he got it, and it said, easy installation, less than 5 minutes, right? And he said, Dad, I got the odometer. Can you help me put it on? It says easy installation. I said, son, sometimes when it says easy installation, that means for other people, not for me. Okay, and I don't know if I have enough time, but Dad, it takes less than 5 minutes, and it's only 3 steps. I've already looked at the book, and I said, fine, I'll go take a look at it. And so I tinkered with it a little bit. About 30 minutes later, I was ready. I was like, okay, I think we got this. I did a 5-minute job in 30 minutes, and so get on your bike, and let's see how it works. And so he went, and he rode his bike, and nothing. It did not work at all. And so I double-checked, triple-checked my work. I noticed one thing that might have been off. And I tried it again. I said, okay, now it's going to work because I've followed to a T. Triple checked what this, it's not hard to triple check. It's only 3 steps. It's not many. And so this has got to work. And so he went out and he wrote it, and guess what? It didn't work. And so then I got to look at the troubleshooting page, which is always frustrating and humbling. And at the very bottom of it, it says the chip in this odometer will not be compatible with all bikes. And so I said, buddy, I'm sorry. You bought something that's just not going to work for your bike. You wasted $8. We can't return it now because I made a mess of it, but it's not working. Sorry, man. And I went to work, and I came home later that day, and Nathan met me at the door when I came in. He said, Dad, it's fixed. It's working. I said, what are you talking about? He said, my bike, the odometer, it's working. Mom spent like 2 minutes and fixed it. She said she's better at fixing things than you are. I said, I know, I told you that even before you asked me. Don't ask me to fix something. Ask your mama to fix something. Praise God for some moms out there. I'm not a fixer when it comes to mechanical things. Do any of you remember watching the show? How many of you watched the show Home Improvement? A lot of you, right? Oh, okay, good. So, yeah, what is it, the grunt, right? They did the grunt on it? Yeah, there you go, you know it. So, Tim Allen, the main character, is Tim the Tool Man Taylor, right? And on this show that we're watching, he's got a show on his television show called Tool Time, right? And Tim the Tool Man Taylor got a show called Tool Time. But the irony in this is that Tim, the guy that's running the Tool Time, the show, is spectacularly accident prone as a handyman. Right? Everywhere he went, there would be massive disasters that would be on and off the set. And you just knew that whenever he got suited up and whenever he got excited about fixing a particular thing, he would actually mess it up. He wasn't actually very good at fixing things. He wanted to. Many times I want to. I wish I could have put that odometer on for my. I couldn't though. I don't know why. Like I can follow directions when I cook. I'm a decent cook. But for whatever reason, when it comes to tools and washers and nuts and bolts and all that stuff, I just don't get it. I want to, but I can't. Side note, just like the show, we had a fence and we had a neighbor that we could only see the top of his head, and so we always called him Wilson. Some of you won't understand that, but that's okay. But what we have in this story is a man named Elkanah who is a fixer by nature, and he is frustrated that he cannot fix the woman that he cares the most about in his life. Have you ever, unable to get through to your child or unable to lift the mood of your husband or wife, you know how frustrating it can be when you cannot fix something that is deeply wrong with the person you care about the deepest in this world. It creates a frustration. And so Elkanah is frustrated because he's faced with a situation that he can't fix. And Hannah is brokenhearted because she's dealing with an expectation that has not been fulfilled yet, a dream that has not yet occurred. And so what I want to do in the time that we have left this morning is I want to talk to the Elkanahs in the room, the frustrated fixers, the exasperated Elkanahs. And I want to set you free from something that you might have thought was your job, that you might have thought was your responsibility, that God never asked you to carry in the first place. And I also want to speak to the brokenhearted Hannahs in the room. The ones that are disappointed by expectations that have not been fulfilled, dreams that have not yet been seen. And no matter how much people try to go through your issue, and no matter how much they try to support you and encourage you and love you, you just can't keep your mind off of that one thing. I want to talk to the exasperated Elkanahs and the brokenhearted Hannahs that are here today. And if you'll pay close attention, I bet you'll be able to relate to one or the other, or maybe both, at the same time. Some of you know what it's like to be a frustrated fixer. When you are faced with a situation that is beyond your control, that you are trying immensely to do all that you can and it doesn't seem like it's working. There's others that, man, you should be happy with all that God has done for you and all that he's given you, with all that's gone right for you, and yet you've got that one thing that you keep coming back to, that nothing can take the focus off of that one problem, and that's causing you a broken heart. And so let's start with the frustrated fixers, the exasperated Elkanahs. And I'm not saying at all that men are the only fixers in this room. We might be wired a little more to conquer or to win. And it's a terrible thing that no matter how much you pour into someone, that seems like it just goes into an empty chasm. And it feels like whether it's a husband or a wife or a child or a parent or an employee, a boss, or whatever it might be, it seems like no matter how much love you give them, and you're giving them a lot and you truly do care about them, it just feels like that love is just bouncing right back at you. And like it's not making a difference at all. Have you ever, men, for instance, been driving home from work and you know that for whatever reason waiting for you at home is an unhappy woman that you were trying to provide for at work, and although you aren't perfect, you are doing the best that you can, but she's not happy with that? Has that ever frustrated you? It's Mother's Day. I would encourage you to keep those answers internal, right? We're doing some internal dialogue right now. There's nothing more frustrating for a man who was built to want to win, to feel like he cannot win in the relationship that matters the most to him. And that's why over my marriage, like this is something I still kind of struggle with from time to time, is that, man, whenever Allison is in a bad mood, and it's only happened once in our marriage, but whenever she's in a bad mood, I took it as a sign that I wasn't doing my job. I took it personally. And when she looked down, I would say, "What's wrong? Why aren't you happy?" Many times my happiness was based on her happiness. We even have a saying for it in this world: happy wife. I just want you to be happy. And Elkanah is frustrated that he can't fix the woman that he loves more than his life. The Bible says clearly he was even going out of his way to show and demonstrate his love for this woman, but it didn't seem to be doing any good. She couldn't get out of bed. Covers roll over her head. She's weeping and mourning and wailing, and she's not getting any better, even though Elkanah is trying to do everything that he knows how to do to love the woman he loves the most. And that's frustrating, whether it's your wife or your husband or your kids or your parents or your best friend or somebody that you wish would love you. It's frustrating when you are giving all that you can give and it's not accomplishing much of anything, especially if you are wired for progress. And I'm not much of a fixer when it comes to fixing mechanical, construction-minded things, but I kind of like to got into the business of fixing people's spiritual problems and spiritual issues. And it's, man, sometimes it's really hard when I realize a little bit after I started this thing that, man, I can preach the best sermons that I can preach, and I can pour my love out to this church, and I can give biblical counseling to somebody. But at the end of the day, even after sitting under my preaching and teaching for a couple of years, we will have people that will leave their family, or they'll shack up with someone that they shouldn't be shacking up with, and they're not being faithful to God. And I'm starting to question myself, like, am I not saying this right? Or do they even care, God? How can they do this? It's frustrating sometimes to be a fixer. And I think that's the essence of Elkanah's frustration. Again, we read in verse 8, he says, her husband Elkanah would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Elkanah, there's something broken in her. But he interprets her brokenness as an indictment against him. And the fact of the matter is that we know there's nothing wrong with Elkanah's ability to reproduce. He's doing just fine with Penina. There's no problem there. And so it's not about him, but he makes it about him. Practical teaching point number one this morning is, it's not always about you. It's not always about you. We typically get frustrated and exasperated, Elkanah, when we try to make the issue about us that's not about us. And we'll hear things like a husband say to a wife, well, why aren't you happy? Like, I'm doing everything I can. I'm working really hard so we can afford this nice house. I'm working overtime to buy you all these nice things. Like, why aren't you happy? And so you interpret her frustration as some sort of dysfunction of your own. Like, you are failing. Like, you can't do anything right. And sometimes we'll hear moms say about the people around them, well, nobody loves me. Nobody appreciates me. Nobody's thankful for what I do. Earlier this week, my boys and I, we were playing Pokemon Monopoly. And that game is Monopoly. It can take a little while sometimes. And so we were having a good time playing. And I would say probably 20, 30 minutes in, we hear, don't worry, I'm just doing the laundry. So like a good husband, I didn't worry. She told me not to, right? So we kept playing, right? 10 minutes later, it's all good. I'm just doing the dishes now. I said, baby, do you want us to help? No, keep playing your game. Okay, I'll listen again. We keep playing our game. 15 minutes later, hey, I'm just going to fold the clothes over here now. I said, okay, boys, I've been in this almost 13 years now with your mom. I know what's going on. Let's get up and let's say, hey, we're here to help. So we all got up and said, Mom, what can we do to help? And she said, nothing. Women are confusing, aren't they? She didn't want us to help. She wanted us what? To appreciate her. To appreciate her. Or to help without being asked. But I'm going to go with what I said. I think that's more right. Sometimes it's not about you. And when you're dealing with people who are broken and hurting, it can make it easier to have compassion on them when you realize that it's not about you. That you realize there are broken things in their life, in your life, and in all of our lives that cause us to be unable to fully receive love. So it's not always about you, Elkanah. I know you are exasperated, and I know you are frustrated, and I know you are trying to do all that you can, but it's not always about you. It's not always about you. And I hope this will help you as much as it's helped me in the past, because now I realize that sometimes when I ask Allison, what's wrong? Why aren't you happy? Why aren't you cheerful? It's because she's tired. It's not because I'm not doing a good job as a husband. Like, sometimes I wrap up my security and my identity, and so many men and women do, in what other people think and in my performance and activity, to tell me that I want other people to tell me I'm doing a good job. And Elkanah is successful in a lot of areas of his life, but in this one area where it counts the most, he feels like he keeps coming up short. Why can't I make you happy? He said, I gave you, the text says, I gave you a double portion of the best meat, right? Why doesn't that make you happy? He's saying, baby, I love you. Like, I'll take you to Fogo de Chão, that Brazilian steakhouse. I'll get you all the meat you want. I'll take you to Ruth's Chris. We'll go to Goblin Market. I'll take you to 1921. I'll get you the best cut of steak on the menu. But for some reason, that's not good enough for you, apparently. When she's saying all along, I've got another thing going on. I've got another problem. I've got another hurt. And no amount of meat and no amount of sausage and no amount of chorizo and no amount of ribeyes and no amount of steaks and no amount of chicken. I'm a vegetarian anyway. Didn't you know that? I don't even want your meat. There's something that your meat can't do. I want a baby. I want a baby. It's not about a person who is disappointing Hannah. It's about a purpose in her life that has not yet been fulfilled. And the sooner you realize that about people is that a lot of times their response toward you is not about you, the sooner you will be freed up to separate yourself from their frustrations and actually be able to help them with their problem. And sometimes what helping them with their problem means is you just sit with them and you listen and you empathize. I feel like there's a few people that need to hear this today out there. Anybody needing to hear this today, right? You're trying to help fix and solve everyone else's problems. And many times you say, well, why doesn't she and why won't he? And I think he should do this and I think she should do this. Man, if you've ever been in ministry, if you've ever been in social work, if you've ever been a mom or a dad or a son or a daughter, if you've ever been any of those things, gosh, if you have the gift of compassion or mercy, you know what it's like to be frustrated when you're trying to fix somebody. And it just doesn't, no matter what you can do, you just can't do it. Because we get so enmeshed and we get so wrapped up and tied up in helping other people. What's wrong with you? Don't I mean a lot to you? Don't I mean more than 10 sons? You can't fix a baby problem with more meat. You can't fix what's wrong with someone's heart and someone's life with more of you. Do you know that? Sometimes more of you is not the answer. And so I have a word of God for every frustrated fixer and exasperated Elkanah in the house who's looking at somebody or something that you cannot fix right now. For every mom that's looking at a child that you just for whatever reason can't get through with right now. You're going, man, what's wrong with you? Don't you see all I've done for you? How much I love you? How much I care for you? Won't you listen to me? I'm your mom. Why won't you take my advice? It's because she's 14 and teenagers are demon possessed. There is this demon that comes into all teenagers at this time, and that's why she's not listening to you. God told me to tell all the frustrated fixers, all the exasperated Elkanahs something today. He wanted me to tell you that he wants his job back because you're not very good at it. And the people that are receiving this message the least are the ones that need to hear it the most. And so you think I'm talking to the person next to you. And meanwhile, they're thinking, I hope she's hearing this. I hope he's getting this, right? We're all frustrated fixers. We're all Tim the Toolman Taylors. We're all putting on our tool belt and trying to go fix problems, getting our power tools, thinking we're going to make it right and we're going to make it better. And the person we're trying to fix is looking at us saying, oh no, not you again. Not you. Let's call a professional in for this job. I remember the last job you did on me, and that didn't work out so well. And plus, you're kind of broken yourself anyway. So if you know how to fix things, so why don't you fix yourself first, then come fix me. In the meantime, God is saying, will you just please get out of my way and let me do what only I can do. Only I can heal a broken heart like Hannah. Only I can do that. I'm the only one who has the ability to put people's lives back together again. It is God's job to hold you up. It is my job, your job, our job to walk with one another through the pain. To walk with one another. But it does not mean that we don't care about you. It does not mean that we don't love you. It means that we are trusting God enough to know that there are some things that only He can do. Some things only He can fill. For every man who keeps trying to make his wife happy and you seem like you're getting nowhere, or every woman that's trying to make her man feel like a champion and he's still walking around like a loser, for every child that's trying to make your parents proud and waiting and desiring some words of affirmation from them, or for every parent that's trying to get your child back on the right path and they won't seem to follow, God is telling you today that there are some things that you cannot fix. Only He can. And on behalf of the Elkanahs, I think they would say to the Hannahs in the room, I think they would say, I love you, but I cannot complete you. I want to be good to you, but I will not be God for you. Doesn't mean I don't care about you. Doesn't mean I'm not going to try. Doesn't mean I don't want you happy. I love you as much, in fact, as I've ever loved you before, but I can't fix what's broken in your heart. It's me. Is that not the most theologically self-destructive concept for human relationships in this world. Think about it. I mean, you put two people that are broken, two halves together with the expectation that they're giving to one another that I'm going to complete you and you're going to complete me. And what you will have is resentment bouncing back off of each other the entire time. Because you said you could complete me, but you can't. You said you could do this for me, but you aren't. That's a horrible, horrible line. And I believe the Lord is going to save somebody's marriage today. I believe the Lord is going to save somebody's relationship with their child, somebody's relationship with their parent, because today there is an exasperated Elkanah who needed to hear the voice of the Lord say, you've got to release yourself and relieve yourself of God's job responsibility. And when you make yourself the fixer, you are operating way outside of the pay grade. And you need to get back on the job site, but you are not the foreman. Only God can fix some things. And then there's Hannah. And many of us can relate to Hannah in a number of ways. The main thing we can relate to is that no matter how much God does to me, man, it seems like there's always something that I can focus on that's negative or a problem or a dream or something that's been unfulfilled. I even get mad at myself sometimes because I look at my life and I think, man, God, you've given me so many great blessings and so many great things. And why am I unhappy right now? God, you've blessed the socks off of me. What is wrong with me that I can't even be happy? Sometimes when we look to others to give me something that only God can give, it doesn't matter how much encouragement or love someone pours into our lives. It still leaks out the bottom. No matter how much people pour into us, we leak it out and we can't receive it. And so no matter how much meat he gave to Hannah, it wasn't going to fix her broken heart. And I believe all of us are brokenhearted Hannahs in some way. We live under this illusion that if I get just this person over here that loves me to say these things and to do these things, then I'll be fulfilled, then I'll be complete, but you never will. It's like drinking salt water. You drink some and then you have to drink more. And you drink more and you have to drink more and more and more. If someone is addicted to alcohol, the solution is not to give them a little bit. You know, just to get over their addiction. No, they have one drink that they're going to keep drinking. If someone is addicted to porn, the solution is not to let them look at a little bit of porn, just kind of get it out of their system, and then they'll be fine. No, that's not at all the solution. And if someone is addicted to affirmation of others, the solution is not to get enough of that where it'll tide you over. The solution is to break the addiction by finding a different source of affirmation that is capable of fulfilling the need that is represented in your brokenness. And this is a dumb illustration, but I think it's effective. Over here, it's dangerous because I'm not good with tools. I already told you. But over here, I got a couple things. I got a hammer, and I got a bottle of water here. And this is supposed to be glass, even though it's plastic. But we'll imagine it's glass. This was in Lost and Found. So if there's anybody's, you can get it back at 7 p.m. tonight after we're done with 5:47. But these things are both could drive a stake into the ground, right? This hammer would be pretty effective. I'd be pounding it and pounding it and pounding it, and it would do what it's supposed to be doing. And after I'm done driving that stake into the ground, if I was thirsty, I would grab the glass bottle of water, and I would take a drink of it, and it will fulfill my desires. It would complete what it was supposed to do in my life. But if I try to drink from the hammer, and I try to drive the stake into the ground with a glass bottle, right, what will happen? I'll be disappointed in the hammer. And this bottle will break into 1,000 pieces or more. And the point of this is what we do with human relationships is we abuse them for a purpose that they were never intended for. Right? They weren't created for certain things. And so God will send a person in your life to encourage you, to love you, to bless you. It could be a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter, an employee, a boss, a neighbor. It might be any of those things. And we will take that relationship, which in its context is really great, but then we will try to use it for a purpose that it was not designed for. And we're trying to drive a stake down into the ground with a glass bottle of water. We're trying to drive our identity and our purpose and our happiness with something that's not ever meant to drive anything into the ground. And what will happen is the glass bottle will shatter. And many of you have shattered a lot of relationships, dozens, if not hundreds of relationships in your life, looking for someone, using someone to give you something that they're not able to give you. They were never meant to give to you. They were never intended to give to you. They were created to give you that. People were not intended to touch the place that only God can touch. And so no matter how much you drive that down, and you know, only you know when you're driving that down. Only you know when you're driving that down, when people are telling you, good job, you might be driving that down and you're getting all your affirmation and all your self-worth and all your purpose and all your identity through what other people are saying. Only you know when you're driving that down, but you pound it and pound it and pound it. And then eventually we're surprised when we have relationship issues and the relationship shatters and our heart is leaking. But why are we surprised when we turn a good thing into a God thing? Why are we surprised when we try to turn human encouragement into heavenly affirmation? Hannah, there's certain things, and you might be this Hannah that needs to hear this morning. There are certain things that your husband cannot and will not do for you, that your children will not do for you. Hannah, there are certain things that you have to bring to God. You have to bring this brokenness together back to the only one who can actually fix it. Otherwise, you're going to wear people out. You're going to destroy relationships. You're going to wear yourself out. You're not even going to like yourself. You don't want to be needy. You don't want to be that person that always needs something, that always needs someone to tell them good job. I have good news for you. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he fixed your need for affirmation in the deepest place, in the most permanent way. And it's not broken anymore. It's not empty anymore. He can fill your all in all. And I'm looking today for people who are tired of the frustration of being a fixer because you still can't fix anything. You're only making it worse. You know, in the show, when Tim, the tool man's wife, Jill, would come in, she'd have to call Al or Wilson to come and fix the problem that Tim tried to fix in the first place. And don't you know there were always more problems and it was always more expensive than if she would have just called the professional in the first place. And when your heart is broken and when your heart is leaking, I want you to know that unless you are going to God, you're just going to have more problems. It's going to be harder and harder. Why won't you? Why don't you call in a professional today who is the only one that can heal your broken heart? And his name is Jesus. And I don't know who this conversation is for, but I'm frustrated many times trying to fix problems. And I want not control because God did not ask me to. And I hope that frees up some of you today. And when I begin to love my wife that with a love that is unconditional, not just the love that makes her happy, but when I love my wife unconditionally, then she can experience real love. And some of you exasperated Elkanahs, you need to have a very simple conversation with your husband or your wife or your kids or your parents. And you need to say, you know what, I love you, but I cannot complete you. And I've been putting a pressure on myself that God never intended for me to carry. And because of that, I've been driving you and I've been pushing you. What's wrong, Hannah? Why won't you eat? And I've been all up in your face. But it's not really even about you. It's actually about me. I need to trust God for him to do what only he can do. And when you do that, you're not going to be as offended anymore when she's frustrated or when he's frustrated, because you're not going to perceive everything as a direct assault on your character. You are able to submit it to the one, to the God who is able to heal every heart, who has all the hands in the palm of his hand. And some of you brokenhearted Hannahs need to have a conversation. Could be the best Mother's Day gift you give, or maybe you need to give a reverse gift on Mother's Day and talk to your kids and say, hey, I no longer hold you responsible for the brokenness in my life. I've been frustrated with you because of something actually that's inside me. And I know you're thinking, well, if I do that, they won't love me as much. They'll stop trying. No, if you do that, then God will become your tag team partner in the ring with you. And he's much better at getting them to submit than you ever are. And so some of you Hannahs need to go to someone and say, I've been putting weight on you that you are not designed to carry. I've been trying to get you to fulfill me and I've been frustrated with you, but I need to learn how to go to God myself. And the person who's listening might say, well, I need to get out of God's way because he wants to work on you, but I keep stepping in and trying to fix it myself. And the beautiful thing about this, listen, is when I truly come to terms with the fact that I'm not the fixer, I can then become an instrument of the healer. When I stop bringing people into my situation, into my problem to fix me, I can actually receive what they do have to give. And I'm no longer frustrated that they don't have what they need, what I thought they could give me, because God is the one that has what I really need. And the irony of affirmation is the less you need it, the more you can receive it. If you need it all the time, like if you walked around needing it all the time, always need someone to love you, to receive your love, and you're walking around, some of you are like this, and you could walk around, nobody appreciates me. Yes, they do. They told you this morning, but I've done some things since this morning. Done a lot since then. You're leaking, Hannah. You are leaking. If they told you 1,000 times a day, it wouldn't be good enough. Nobody loves me. Nobody invited me over. Nobody ever asked me to do anything. Hannah, you just went to dinner with them 2 nights ago. I know, but on their Instagram feed, I saw they went out again and I didn't get invited. You're leaking, Hannah. You're leaking. And you are broken. And there is something that only God can fix. That other men and women are not designed to carry, are not designed to fix, and only Jesus can fill this need. Will you stand up on your feet right now? Because God, we want to call out to you. I'm wrapping up. And we declare to you, God, that you are the healer. And you set us free. And only you can give life. And only you can give birth. And only you can heal our broken hearts. Only you can solve our problems. Look at me. Eventually, Hannah had her baby, right? Her dream was fulfilled. She got the baby that she was praying for. And when she got her baby, she dedicated her baby back to the Lord. But what's amazing, if you read more about this story, is she actually did not dedicate her baby after he was born. She dedicated her baby even before the baby was born. She dedicated her situation to God even before she saw her dream realized. And I believe that God is asking you, if you are brokenhearted today, I want you to know that he's asking you to dedicate your situation, to bring your situation to him and to trust in him, not after you've seen it come to fruition, but before you've seen it come to fruition. And are you okay that if everybody pours love and grace and everything into your life and it's still not enough, are you okay with God beside doesn't come to pass? Are you okay with God being your rock, with God being your source, with God being your security? If you are Elkanah and you are exasperated, or you are Hannah and you are brokenhearted and you are ready to quit, if you are ready to quit and you are ready to give it over to the Lord this morning, I want you to do something now. I want you to take your hands and I want you to have your palms facing up as a sign of surrender. If you're a brokenhearted Hannah or an exasperated Elkanah this morning and you're tired trying to fix other people, you're broken because of something that's not yet happened, or maybe expectations that didn't go your way. If you would pray this with me, we'll start with the exasperated Elkanahs, the frustrated fixers in the room. If you pray this prayer with me out loud with your mouth and your vocal cords, every exasperated Elkanah, Lord, please take your job back. You are a fixer. I am not. I am Tim the Toolman Taylor. And we are calling on a professional today. And God, before you fix anyone else, fix me. Fix me. I'm broken. I'm hurting. I get lonely. Fill me, Lord. And for every brokenhearted Hannah in this place, say this after me. Father in heaven, I call on you to meet my needs like only you can. To heal my heart like only you can. I release my expectations of others to fulfill me. And I receive your love that fills my every need. Come on, let's praise God right now. God, I thank you this morning for what you're doing in this place. God, I thank you for all the frustrated fixers and the brokenhearted Hannahs that are being set free in this place, Lord. For we need to do this to truly receive what only you can give us, God. And I believe you want to bless us. I believe you are a good God. I believe you have great gifts for your sons and your daughters, and you want to pour those out. And so, God, I pray for every brokenhearted Hannah in this place that might have a dream that is yet to be fulfilled. It might be a child that has not yet been born. It might be a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a spouse. Lord, whatever it might be, I pray, Lord Jesus, that by the time next year, you will bring those people, you will bring those dreams into reality, Lord. We are ready to receive what only you can give, God. Only you can give us a full heart. Only you can fix our problems. And Jesus, you already have. Come on, if you're ready to receive more from the Lord, lift those hands again. Get in a posture to receive it. And let's sing and let's declare that we're ready to receive the rain from God alone. Look, come on, let's sing.